This week, on a special episode of WebMD's Health Discovered podcast, we're taking a closer look at a common form of lung cancer that accounts for 85% of all cases.
When I first heard the words, "you have lung cancer," I was in shock.
It's a diagnosis that changes everything. So what does it really mean to advocate for yourself when you're living with non-small cell lung cancer? Listen to Health Discovered on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Moro Casino, America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Hi, it's Tony Bruschi from the Dark Side of Wikipedia. If you like this show and you also like the paranormal, then be sure to check out my other podcast, The Grave Talks, with new episodes every single Monday and Tuesday. Just search The Grave Talks wherever you download podcasts. Here's a 15-minute preview of a recent episode of The Grave Talks.
Today in The Grave Talks, how do spirits see us? A conversation with Amanda Yenny. When you grow up in the foothills of the Appalachian Mountains, suspicions and cautionary tales run wild as part of the unique culture of the area. But were all these tales and superstitions just myths of a bygone era? Or could there be something more to these beliefs? That's a question that Amanda Yenny wanted to find out for herself as she embarked on a scientific journey into the paranormal. However, she was not on a quest to prove the existence of entities. She wanted to know how and why they do what they do, with an understanding that they're already there. Today, an in-depth conversation with her about the origins and path that spirits take today.
It starts really far back for me. So I am probably one of the few people in the paranormal field that did not have an experience when I was younger. I knew people that did. And growing up, I would say probably as early as five as I can remember, my mom and grandmother talking about ghosts and spirits visiting. And I grew up hearing the stories of when an uncle I had in some distant war, I want to say World War II, perhaps, the moment that he died, he had visited his wife that was still in the States, and she saw him before she knew he had passed. So I grew up with stories like that. Mm-hmm. I didn't think that they were weird or strange. My whole family had that. And it never dawned on me that I didn't. They did. So I grew up with it being the paranormal, being something, just actually very normal. Obviously, yeah. We didn't call it paranormal at the time. It wasn't even called weird. It was just an understood connection that people had. And that you could exercise that connection, I suppose, mm-hmm. in certain circumstances. So as I grew up and still hearing about this, I'm the type of person, I'm very curious. I was curious as to how would this possibly happen? How could it happen? Mm-hmm. And so when I got into it, thinking more about it, trying to read more about it, so I started off, you know, probably preteen to early teen, reading ghost stories and trying to watch shows and talking with people. And at the time, I grew up in basically the foothills of the Appalachian Mountains. Mm-hmm. So with the mountain grannies and hearing all those stories. Mm-hmm. And it was just completely fascinating. So as I got older, you know, you do the normal things, teenager, and I'm sorry, like being in your 20s and then getting married and going to school and doing all those things. And I got formally back into the field later, probably about 16 years ago now. Mm-hmm. But I have a different approach. So everybody, you know, when we go out and you do an investigation, you're, you know, can you tell me your name? Why are you here? What happened? I'm the person that still does, not to sound callous, I don't care why you're here. Mm-hmm. I care how you're here.
Sure.
So what is it that you're doing to get here? So, you know, I've got a science-based, a STEM background. So I have an undergrad in math and my PhD in operations research, which is basically just statistics. It's decision-making science through the use of mathematics. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I've studied physics. I've studied different forms of science, you know, sometimes as a hobby, sometimes formally, to understand what is really going on. And so that's the focus that I'm at here today. But it goes all the way back, you know, to being little, sitting in the house, listening to these mountain grannies tell stories or my own family tell stories.
That must have been a really interesting atmosphere to grow up in. You laugh as I say that. In that setting, in the foothills of the Appalachian Mountains. I mean, for those who don't kind of understand the culture and stuff, could you kind of expound upon that and explain a little bit more about what life's like there and some of the belief systems and things like that that are talked about?
So life there, now granted, this was many years ago, and I have no idea what it is now because I've not been back in a very long time, but I can only imagine it is very similar. So, you know, the settlers in the Appalachian Mountains, most of these folks came from Scotland or England and other places that settled, and then that's kind of where they were. So a lot of those belief systems moved with them. So very superstitious belief systems. So if you can picture it, so that this would be like in an old house that somebody likely built themselves, that generations have lived in. The setting is, you know, the huge Appalachian Mountains around you, and it's always, especially in the spring or winter, it's very misty. So it has that atmosphere like you would read in a ghost story.
Yeah.
Which is why I loved it so much, I think. And, you know, the grannies, we call them the grannies, and it's basically just grandmother, great-grandmother, but very, very matriarch centered, surprisingly. Even though, you know, the men would go out and work and do stuff, you just don't piss off granny. Mm-hmm. So very, very land-based, you know, there was a remedy and a natural remedy for everything. And, you know, if something bad happened, sweep your house with salt and all these other things that they would do, and natural herbs and roots constantly drying and, you know, making stuff up and not making it up, but using these old traditions. And I feel bad. I'm a bit separated from it now, so I don't quite remember all the things that they would do, but being very superstitious, and that went into everyday life. And I think that embraced the concepts of ghosts, and it was very much, you know, like evil spirits and good spirits, and good spirits were okay, and you could invite those in, and also very religious too. So very, very various Christian-based religions going on there. You know, I actually turned out atheist, so I do have a separation from that, but that's the culture there. But it's very family-oriented. You know, you could always go in and get like a great cobbler and listen to granny tales. And that's what I grew up calling them, were granny tales.
Yeah. Growing up and hearing those and being in that area, you know, obviously you're going to hear a lot of stories that are, you know, outlandish and are like, wow, you know, it's a scary story. Were there any, though, that when we're talking about the story-based things or even some of the superstitions that, you know, time and space have given you look back and go, maybe there was something more to this or to that story?
Well, it's funny you mention it because one of the big scary stories or one of the big lore tales that has made its way even into TV is The Woman in White. But The Woman in White is a real tale. It's a real story that I grew up hearing. And it's one of those things where you don't necessarily believe it the first time you hear it, but then you hear it so much and you hear it in different ways. And all of a sudden, all this kind of anecdotal, not evidence, but circumstances, and you start to like, well, huh. And the woman in white has various versions of it, as I mentioned, but I always grew up hearing about the ghost of a woman, and she was always connected to somebody in town, and it was always a warning. So she wasn't a bad thing, but she always appeared in white. She always appeared like by herself, always at night, and not necessarily on a road. She could appear anywhere. But it was a warning to you. Mm-hmm. And so I remember, you know, many times when we're visiting family or visiting friends and you're in the middle of the woods and you're little, and I'm constantly looking out like, am I going to see her? And I'm actually looking for her.
Yeah.
I would say now I don't necessarily believe it, mm-hmm. that a woman in white appears just to warn you. I'm not even sure really how it got started or why, mm-hmm. but it was just one of those things. I don't know, but when I do look back, so many people had the same version, and, you know, across towns. And we would visit people, not just the foothills of Georgia, but deep inside the Tennessee, Virginia mountain line. And they all had the same version of the story.
So
or various versions.
Yeah.
Of that story.
So the woman shows up, mm-hmm. on the side of the road. How does your version of it go that you grew up hearing?
Oh, she could show up anywhere. Mm-hmm. In your yard, never in the house. I never heard of it or, mm-hmm. her popping in the house, but she could be anywhere outside, basically. Mm-hmm. And usually, looking back in my memory, I always just assumed she'd be in your front yard or, sure. somewhere close to your house. So,
An interesting thought on that, because, yeah, there's obviously variations of it all over the country. You know, sometimes, mm-hmm. Sometimes it is on a road and they get in the car, and sometimes it is just being seen out there. An interesting thought of the location and where you hear that story on a frequent basis. Do you guys, or did you guys, when you were there, have the fog that would be very mysterious? Sometimes it would literally be just like a puff, mm-hmm. of fog out by there by itself. And that just like a single little piece in an, especially when you're driving through mountains and things like that. I wonder how much something like that, like a natural condition where it is creepy to see, because you look out your window and there's just like a cloud on your ground and that's it. And it kind of moves, mm-hmm. you know, with the space. I wonder how much that is what the woman in white is for that area, where people would see that and go, that's the woman in white. And we're picturing, you know, like literally a woman standing there in white. How much, mm-hmm. was it more so the conjecture of this is what was seen? And if you see that, that's called the woman in white, and that's an omen.
Oh, I would imagine the deeper you go into the mountains and the deeper we went into the mountains, the more the story was, and it would make sense. So, mm-hmm. if you've ever been through terrain like that, it gets very misty, very foggy, and it lingers. Mm-hmm. So couple that with woods and, you know, the type of woods that they have there, a lot of that are pine with young hardwoods coming up. And since mist and fog stays, you can absolutely get the shape of a human figure, sure. I suppose. In that. So it's not that uncommon to see the deeper in you go. Mm-hmm. So, but the further out you go where there's not a lot to hold on to the ground, then you start getting, you know, fog pockets. I don't know what else to call them.
Sure.
And then the further away you go where it's not an issue, you don't really hear about it. So I would say there is probably a strong correlation between just atmospheric conditions and people's beliefs. So once it got started, like everything else, there's a lot of confirmation bias. Oh, I saw that too. I saw, you know, what they think is a human, and likely maybe it's just a tree obscured by fog.
Mm-hmm.
So very likely.
Yeah. Yeah. It's just an interesting one to maybe connect some dots on. Let me ask you this. Mm-hmm. As you got older, obviously, and you got into studying and into science and math and all that, as you dove deeper into the academics of all this, did that further your curiosity or belief that there's ghosts or things like that out there, or did it kind of pull that back a little more as it made you think more and more about possible logical explanations for these things that people experience?
So there's two sides to that.
Okay.
So being in academia and studying this, especially in the sciences, I'll address the first one of pulling back and finding logical explanations. I would say that's very prevalent. The more that you learn, the more you can weed out, you know, not every bump is a ghost. You know, there's the house settling, being able to identify a noise and kind of combing that out to understand, you know, am I really hearing something or is it just ambient noise, but now I'm paying more attention to it.
Yeah.
So there is that logical side that pretty much can dismiss. Like, I'm not a huge fan of orbs. I've seen dust under a microscope. For me, an orb is dust. It's very difficult. Unless the orb's going to write my name in the air, probably going to think it's dust.
Hope you enjoyed this 15-minute preview of one of this week's two brand new episodes of The Grave Talks. To hear the rest and get new episodes every Monday and Tuesday right in your podcast feed, search The Grave Talks wherever you download podcasts and press subscribe or visit thegravetalks.com.
When I first heard the words, you have lung cancer, I was in shock.
This week on a special episode of Health Discovered, we're taking a closer look at a common form of lung cancer that accounts for 85% of all cases.
I'm Janet Freeman Daly, and I've been living with non-small cell lung cancer since 2011.
Non-small cell lung cancer, it's a diagnosis that changes everything. And yet, the conversation around it too often stops at the biology and misses what patients are actually living through every single day.
There are some things you used to be able to do that you can't do anymore. It's easy to become depressed when you're dealing with all those losses. So mental health plays a really big role.
So what does it really mean to advocate for yourself when you're living with non-small cell lung cancer? Listen to Health Discovered on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, Uncle Laser here. America's built on fast cars, fast food, and even faster women. Boto Casino's built in America. You know what they're fast at? Fast cash prize redemption. You see, only Moto is U.S. owned and operated. Moto, it's American made. That's who we are, and that's who we care about. Play for free at Moto.us.
Moto Casino's the social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details. Must be 21 plus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
John Daly here. You know what day it is? Neither do I. I live life daily. That's why I only spin on Moto Casino. Moto's got daily free bonuses, daily tournaments, new slots added daily. And the best part? Guaranteed daily jackpots. You can't beat that. So today's the day you grip it and spin it with me on Moto, America's social casino. Play for free on Moto.us.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details. Download the Moto Casino app today. Must be 21 plus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Here's the truth. You could literally be adored by everyone and then come home and still get completely ignored by your own cat. It's classic cat behavior. But new Shiba Premium Puree is a lickable treat that changes all that. They're protein rich, made with bone broth, and have the smooth, creamy texture cats go crazy for, especially when it's hand fed. Yeah, it's more than a treat. It's a fast pass to favorite human status. So feed your cat Shiba and go from totally ignored to truly adored in just 12 days, guaranteed, or your money back. Learn more at Shiba.com.